FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hop away with the left forearm.
It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris, and
Chris Gayle,
as they fire up.
Good morning, Chris. We went to the ball on Wednesday night.
The big dance.
The big dance, the majestic ball it was too. All of New South Wales were invited and they all turned up. Some were turned away. Even Gladys got the train. I got the train. It wasn't a pumpkin. It was a train. It still stopped and held me up for 45 minutes, Gladys.
That's why I drove.
I still got to the ball. And what a fairy tale that ball was, Chris.
82,500 people daring to dream, Stephen. Daring to dream.
Yes, there was blue lit hair. There were kiddies just anticipating, you know, an absolute like majestic victory. Now this fairy tale that we're expecting, it is a three act production number, isn't it?
Well, let's hope so.
Number two,
Act two.
Now Cinderella, Mitchell Pearce.
Yes.
This was to be his big magic moment. This was the moment for not only redemption but really to cast a shoulder load of bloody monkeys off his back.
Yeah, look, I think he had the entire ape family on his back, to be honest. Yeah. Orangutans, chimpanzees, right. Gorillas, the whole box and dice.
What happened?
Spider monkeys.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was looking good.
Well, I'd say one would describe Act 2 in this Cinderella trilogy for Mitchell as just a big pumpkin.
Look, do we need to remind the kiddies about the Cinderella story?
Look, I mean, I know this is a story close to your heart. I know you enjoyed the remake that came out recently.
I did indeed. And you could say it is a metaphor for the working class hero. You know, there's Cinderella who has to scrub the floors and do the knitting and the cooking and the emptying the garbage. I mean, and she's got three ugly sisters who lord it up and really expect the world. In this particular fairy tale, of course, Cinderella is taken to the ball and unwittingly and really behind the backs or at least out of their gaze of the ugly sisters, she managed to have a slipper fit her foot, and of course, it all comes good for her.
Whoever wrote Cinderella, and I mean, I'm postulating it's the Grimm brothers because that's the only people I've known who's ever actually written a fairy tale.
Yes.
They were definitely thinking about rugby league when they wrote it. I mean, Cinderella is rugby league,
yes.
And you know the ugly stepsisters and the bad stepmother and whatever, they're a sort of a metaphor for everything that's wrong with the world, the upper class / rugby union.
So I suppose, yeah, / rugby union,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
The spoon ugly sister, the little sister, yeah.
Yep. And the trouble with our game is that there are rugby union-like characters infecting it.
Still.
I.e. Queenslanders.
After 100-odd years.
That's right. We still haven't been able to expunge them from the record.
Dressed up as Melbournians.
That's exactly right.
Yes, right.
Under the guise of the Melbourne Storms,
yes.
These rugby union aspirants, these
yes.
sort of
yes.
people who want to hang out with the likes of Pulver as opposed to Greenberg,
yes, yes.
are donning our colours
yes.
and ruining our stories, ruining our
ours,
narrative.
Ours.
Our game.
Yes,
the
yes.
people's game.
Polluting it.
Contaminating it.
Contaminating it. Yeah. Toxifying it.
It's awful.
Cooper Cronk. One ugly sister.
Exhibit one.
Exhibit one.
Yeah.
Cameron Smith.
I mean, again, these guys do not look like rugby league players.
They do not.
I mean,
they don't speak like them. They don't dress like them. They don't act like them.
Private school wallers.
They do.
You know, yeah. Who want to swan around in high-class establishments that got nothing to do with rugby league.
And yet it does your head in that they're actually Queenslanders.
It's so hard to figure. Yeah.
Once upon a time, they were the hillbillies, the rednecks of this country, along with Tasmanians, Russians, Jelky Peterson. Yeah. What has gone on in the world, Chris?
I mean, is there a scar on Cooper Cronk? I mean,
no.
We know that he had the nose surgically altered just to look
to
like.
To look rough.
It's not for any collision that he's incurred on the field. I've never seen him actually in a tackle or be tackled.
Once a year, he'd go to the little surgeon, little clinic down at St Kilda and say, look, a little bit
scuff
more.
Scuff me up a bit.
Yeah, scuff me up a little bit. Yeah. And, of course, now it's going to come back into shape.
And Cameron Smith has that aristocratic cleft.
Cleft.
Yeah, put in. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
And it's worse. It goes on. There's more of them.
So, okay, so this is a modern retake, yet again.
It's a PC version.
PC version.
You know. Yeah.
Cinderella going to the ball.
Yeah.
And not three ugly sisters.
Four of them.
Four. Thurston.
Yep. Thurston is kind of... He's almost like the random variable that throws you off because he kind of... I almost accept that he's a rugby league player.
Yes.
I almost accept it.
Yes.
I haven't accepted it, but I almost accept
Slater.
It. Well, there you go. I mean, is ever the term fresh face being coined for any other than Billy Slater? That kid does not look like a rugby league player. Yeah. He looks like some preppy kid coming out of rugby union.
Yes. We mentioned Cronk and then, of course... I can't even say his name.
President Goat.
Referee Smith. Oh, can you say it? I can't say it.
President Goat.
So they've gone to the ball, right? This is the second dance, the second act in this fairy tale.
It's set up.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years out of 11, the rightful owners, the hearth, the birthplace.
Yes.
It might have been the north of England, arguably, but the birthplace of rugby league, really, which we all know is Birchgrove Oval.
Birchgrove, yeah.
Where's that in?
1908, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The rightful result has been denied for so long, and finally, here we are on the precipice. After game one, Mitchell is coming to the ball. He's coming out.
Well, did he? I mean, I thought he had his foot half in the slipper. And he was, did you not see Laurie put it on nearly? Did it fit?
It looked
good.
It looked fetching.
Yes, it did.
Right.
I mean, when you've got a sea of bloody fluorescent orange and yellow boots and you've got a little glass slipper, it really stands out.
And you thought that the two match officials were approving of this preliminary fit in game one. So it was really just dotting the I's and crossing the T's in game two.
So somewhere at halftime, the referees...
Game done.
They went and got the slipper, in this case.
Yes.
Four of them.
Yep.
Eight of them, actually. Yep. And said, come over here, you lot. Let's see if they fit on you. Lo and behold, they did.
So suddenly what was a 12-4 penalty count last year in the equivalent ANZ game is 6-4 to Queensland.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the referees in condoning the slipper going on the four ugly sisters, the fit was as good as the glove was on OJ at the trial.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, it didn't really
snug,
fit.
But tight.
For some reason, the referees were prepared to approve it.
So they're going into the waltz.
Yes.
As you do with the ball.
Yeah.
You know. And there's something going on between those, the committee of referees, the touchies and everybody. They're doing this beautiful waltz with the four ugly sisters from Queensland.
People are telling me Channel 9's in on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Kerry Packer in on it?
Still.
Still? Has he got his mitt in there?
I think him, I mean, we've talked about...
Surely Murdoch's got his mitt in there somewhere.
I mean, we've talked about the cryogenic freezing
yes.
situation with Walt Disney. Yeah. Kerry would be there, and as we know, there's a spot waiting for Rebel Wilson.
Yeah. Look, I know that we had to pull the banner out as soon as full time came out saying we was robbed.
I thought you were talking about Buzz's banner about game in crisis.
Yeah, well, it is in crisis.
Because it feels like it's in crisis to me.
But Chris, there is hope.
Well, it's always hope.
There's a light. Open the door. There's a light there. That light is Act Three.
Are you not talking
the
about
final waltz?
I'd never associated the fact that we're playing Queensland in Thurston's and possibly Cronk, Slater and Smith's last game at Suncor as anything other than hope.
Right. So. Rugby league wins again. We live in hope. You know, Mitchell Pearce, don't hang your head yet. Don't go for... Has somebody got his shoelaces?
Yeah.
His belt? Not yet, Mitchell.
Well,
it's okay.
You know, he was spotted prior to the game with Professor Dave, formerly involved in the show. Used to sit in the seat where Bronco Reg was.
Yes.
The curse of fire up strikes again.
Yes, exactly.
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Cover out. But here's the thing. After a couple minutes, I was feeling kind of fired up.
It's the dumbest half football New South Wales have played.
Yeah.
They had all the running. Their game plan was perfect. Jonathan Thurston, his performance tonight, so courageous. I guarantee you he'll be heading for an operation the next couple of days. His shoulder is stuffed.
Yeah.
There's your game plan. You just go at him all night. You go at him, and then it puts pressure on the defenders either side. They didn't go to him once in the second half. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yeah. I thought Joey was going to bash
me. I could not believe it. You've got a player out there who cannot pick his arm up off the ground, and they didn't target him, his side of the field, or go at the defenders either side. If he's buggered, the defenders either side are so nervous, then you manipulate that side of the holes inside and outside him. I don't know what they're doing.
I know if you're...
I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Well, I've always said he's a genius. you run at the bung shoulder. That's your game plan. Pure and simple. Nothing else needs to be done.
I tell you, Joey was fired up. He was the epitome of fired up.
Yeah, well, all I can say to Joe is just have a listen to Diana Ross. That'll make you happy.
That'll
you and Mitchell. Mitchell's coming out to the ball next game. And it's all going to be great. Diana will be singing.
He'll be happy. And I tell you what, you know, there's some conjecture about whether Thurston is due for surgery. Thurston's in the paper saying the shoulder's fine, it's just a cork.
Yeah.
But we can confirm today he is going in for surgery today.
Is he?
And that's more plastic surgery to make him more look like the other three ugly sisters and more rugby union. You actually go to the plastic surgeon and just go rugby and they know what to do.
Right.
But Joey there, because apparently he bailed Gus up as they're walking up to the broadcast box. He's that drunk guy.
Yeah.
I was actually at 99 York Street last night. And they were doing the 360 was up on the screen, and I made some smart remark, and that was a huge mistake. Because this guy turned around a little bit under the weather and then proceeded to lecture us about what New South Wales did wrong for 15 minutes.
Right.
You know that guy who's sort of sort of a crank?
But you see, he's not an immortal. That guy in the pub. Joey's an immortal.
The thing was, for 15 minutes, I thought it was just some drunk guy in the pub. He also brought out about how could you blow a 16-6 lead, and he brought up the time when Wayne Bennett was coaching St George and led South 18-0 at halftime and proceeded to lose the game. Do you remember that?
I forgot that one.
Anyway, it was only after 15 minutes that I realised that this drunk guy in Club 99 York Street had bailed me up was Joey Johns.
Wow.
He is bending everybody's ear about this.
What, from pub to pub? Bar to bar?
He's still going.
Yeah.
And he won't be sated until Act 3 goes our way.
Last seen at the courthouse.
That's right.
Right.
I shared a cab with him.
Did you?
Yeah. He got out at Taylor Square.
Of course.
Went home.
Yeah. And then the early opener up at Bondi Junction, the Tea Gardens, you know. From there he can go down to the beach road. He's still bending ears.
That's right.
Yeah,
the lockouts has affected him a little bit, but he's trying.
Period, he found it difficult, right?
I seldom plug the Fire Up Facebook page because generally I forget, but I have just posted the image of Joey Johns mid rant, and I don't know. It's life affirming. The fact that the guy has retired so long, but remains so passionate, to me somehow makes me feel better.
Well, talking about this fractured fairy tale that possibly or we think will come good, that Mitchell will go to the ball and get the slipper and get the prince and come home, and I don't even think it'll turn back to a pumpkin. I think it'll be a Cadillac, you know.
Right.
But who's orchestrating this? Who's in charge of this?
Apart from Kerry in the cryogenic
and
freezing unit.
And Bellamy and bloody, you know. Is it Todd? Surely not.
Well,
he's a family man.
Yeah, he wouldn't be to this sort of...
You twist his arm, he's a blue.
Skull don't. Yeah. Well, that's right.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theory stuff out there, but let's be honest, if you were running a conspiracy theory, would Queensland winning 11 out of the last 12 series really be what they're after?
And look, we salute you, Chris, as a CEO, to be sleeping out last night with Todd and all the rest of them at the cricket ground.
Least I could do.
Yeah, a bit of empathy with the homeless out there. Good man. Good
actually,
on you.
I turned up and they had a look at my business card and it said chairman. I was turned away at the door.
Not CEO. no, not chief operator. No, executive
officer. So I ended up down the road at East Leagues with Ray Dibb and Nick Politis.
Second level.
Marina Go.
Right.
You know, setting the world to rights in the comfort of the Arthur Beetson lounge.
Yeah. Well, the higher you are, the tougher it is. Got to set an example. So listen, why were we robbed?
Well, Buzz Rothfield...
You've got Joey's 11 reasons. What reasons have you got?
Well, no, the 11 reasons, and I mean, it's almost like the Ten Commandments, isn't it?
Yes.
Buzz Rothfield, Daily Telegraph editor-at-large.
At large.
Still with the trolley. Yeah. Can't find a desk in Quebec Street.
No.
Went somewhat virulently into the press yesterday and said there were 11 decisions
right.
that were against New South Wales, courtesy of the two officials.
I've got the file.
Sutton and Chechen.
Okay.
Yep. 11 decisions that went against us.
Yeah.
I've got 11 reasons why Rothfield's wrong, but and it was gotcha. Up 11 other
well,
reasons.
Well, at the 8th minute, James Maloney penalised for pushing over Billy Slater. Even Paul Vorton bagged the decision.
But he pushed him over.
Yeah.
So I've got no issue with that.
Okay. Okay, 8.5. Valentine Holmes scores a try to strike, putting his foot on the line. Now, there was a previous dance they went back to compare. I think it might have even been Jared Hayne. Persecuted hero. They did the same thing, and he was out.
A lot of discussion about where were the cameras, and we can reveal exclusively on this show.
Mysteriously, they were out.
Well, this is where the cameras were. We had the first camera, which we've all seen.
Yeah.
And, Sutton going, there's insufficient evidence to overturn the on-field decision. I have a decision. I'm going to the board.
Terrible. Right, I'm going to ask you to leave the room, please.
The other two cameras, the backpack guy only got from the thigh up.
You tell me there's only three cameras?
Only three cameras.
83,000 people, only three cameras?
There are 34 cameras at the ground, but they all have functions, right?
Right. So, I wonder all those photographers that are lined up on the side there. Couldn't they capture one?
But the backpacker wasn't on Valentine Holmes' feet, because let's face it, Holmes has a magnificent thighs.
He does.
And so
they
he
move.
Was focused on the image. And supposedly the guy down in the opposite corner had got the word from the director, and this is where the conspiracy theory may have something to it.
Right.
He was doing crowd shots. Right. So we only had the one camera, and therefore there was insufficient evidence. Right. So I'm prepared to go to the board.
Funny people in the crowd shots.
Yeah, so Rothfield, again, he's got it wrong. I couldn't argue with that decision.
Dan Gagai belts Jared Hayne in the head. No action. Clear to all but two refs and two touchies.
Is there any rugby league fan in the world who would argue that Jared Hayne doesn't deserve a belt in the head?
Yeah,
the kid is hubris on legs.
Yeah, yes.
When he scored that try and it was the knowing, I'm back, baby, I play the NFL, I play Super Rugby Sevens and whatever, and I go, I want to hit him.
You sound like a Queenslander.
No. I'm an analyst.
An analyst? Is that what you are now? I thought you were a polymath. 37th minute, Cameron Smith forward pass to Thurston from dummy half. Phil Gould says that pass was a metre forward. What happened to the old yards? 2 yards forward. Hey?
I like the more embellished remark from a commentator. That was a kilometre forward. Look, unfortunately, I was behind the dead ball end at the opposite end of the field.
Oh, here he goes.
The parallax error. I couldn't get a view on it.
Nathan Peet's penalised for stripping on Tim Glasby.
Sorry, who? What?
Looked legitimate tackle. Glasby lost control.
I think Rothfield's reporting about another game. I don't know who Glasby is. He certainly wasn't on the field.
Thurston slips, then throws forward, pass to Michael Morgan, Gus again, at least a metre forward, if not a kilometre.
Again, the referees can do nothing about that. If the touchy doesn't inform them, play on.
Bloody ridiculous rule. 46. I can see it from the other corner. And, I got out my quadrant, my compass.
Where were you, by the way?
I was on the, just near the Maroons, actually, that corner.
Right. No largesse from the NRL for all the hard work you've done over the years.
No.
Stephen, please come to our box.
My prediction at the time was that when the Blues turn around, all the tries are going to be scored right in front of me.
Not a cracker.
Not a bloody bip, nothing zip.
Did they even get in the red zone in the second half?
I don't think they did.
No.
So, 46 minutes, Josh Dugan taken out by Will Chambers, chasing Pierce Bomb. Far worse than Maloney to Slater. Should have been a Blues penalty for 12-point lead. Well, there shouldn't have been any penalties.
Yeah.
We told Chicken, no penalties.
Yeah.
Don't blow. Put the P back in.
What's Rothfield's point here? I mean, he, like everybody else, praised the referees to the hilt for no penalties in game one. Now he's arguing that it should be calling penalties?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have it both ways, Buzz.
Can't, no. Here's that man again. Jared Hayne taken out by Chambers and Cronk chasing Pierce kick. Should have been a Blues penalty. Queensland score. Try a minute later.
Take out Jared Hayne. No one argues with that.
60 minutes. Hayne penalised the strip on Gagai. Clearly loose carry.
Clearly.
Right. Which brings us, of course, to the sledge that dare not say it's
You
made.
Don't want my 11 reasons.
Oh, you've got your own 11.
Yeah. These are the.
You're not just refuting.
No, that's right.
Shoot.
And I'd be interested in your reaction to this, Stephen. Yeah. These are the actual 11 reasons why New South Wales did lose, because it's too simplistic to blame the referees, and you couldn't possibly shoulder any of the blame on our 17 blue heroes who gave their all. Dare I say, gave 111%.
Exactly.
Which is 1% more than 110%.
Totally.
Which of itself is mathematically impossible.
Yeah.
Right. First of all, Buzz Rothfield.
Yeah. Number one.
Number one.
What did he have to do with it?
Secondly, Andrew Johns.
Yeah.
I mean,
was he meddling?
The fact of the matter is that what I love about Johns and Fittler is that they both still desperately want to be out there, right? So if you so badly want to be out there and run at JT's shoulder, put on a jersey, get out there.
At least Alfie's carrying the water.
Yeah.
They're not even doing that.
By the way, I had spectators going, oh, get Langer off the field.
Yeah.
So boring, because no one could actually identify who the New South Wales water runner was.
No.
Yeah, right.
Well, was it the guy with the moustache? Was it Ted Mulry?
I have no idea. Oh, Ronnie Palmer?
Yeah.
Does Ronnie Palmer actually actively involve, or is he just on the sideline? He's actually on the field.
Yeah, I think he is.
Fantastic.
I could be wrong.
Gonski 2.0?
Yes.
Yeah, that's been funded. That's hurt us.
That's really hurt us.
The made-up feud between Laurie Daly and Kevin Walters.
Yes,
I mean, that confused the New South Wales players. They go, Kevy's a great guy. Does our coach really hate him?
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah, did their head in.
Brexit?
Without doubt. Theresa May. That whole drama. That really took their mind off the game, didn't it?
Chappelle Corby?
Chappelle?
She's broken a leg?
Yeah.
She's one of ours?
Yeah.
Isn't she?
Yeah. Where was she staying?
When she broke her leg?
Mm.
I don't know. Probably, I think, possibly at the Star.
Was she doing training with them?
That's right, and their whole regime got thrown out.
Right.
And very, very quickly, the fact that Donald Trump wants to put solar panels on the wall in Mexico to pay for itself.
Well, it has to.
That sort of conceptual stuff really distracted the players, because they just don't understand that Donald is now in favour of renewable energy.
Yes, yes. Just a backflip, 10.4.
Bermuda Triangle, which fuels us all to believe that conspiracy theories like Channel 9 and on the Fix and Todd Greenberg, that's all true.
Yes.
Pauline Hanson, just an absolute get-out-of-jail card.
Surely there's something in one of the Beatles songs.
And let's face it, finally, World Wrestling Entertainment, because in the end, Queensland got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They got the wrestle. Yep, they got the penalty count. They slowed the game down on the dewy surface at ANZ. We need Act 3 to save ourselves.
So we're back to the Four Ugly Sisters, are we?
We are back to them.
Mm. Okay. Now, talking of attractive men... Andrew Fifita, the man that they targeted, the man they stopped in his
they contained
tracks.
Him.
They contained they the wrapped biggest him up. Man on the field. He's about 8'10", isn't he? He's huge.
In the old
he
language.
Dances in the old language, yeah. Well, apparently there was a sledge. It's the sledge that is so bad. It is so bad they can't even mention it. They can't talk about it. They can't say what it was. A chap called Maguire, some Queenslander, apparently had a go at him after the game. Is that unusual tactics, to throw a sledge after the game?
Yes. Well, it's not unusual because
easy,
you've got another game to go.
Yeah.
This is the concept that's pretty foreign to rugby league. Yeah. We actually have a series.
Yeah.
So what happens in one game will influence what happens the next game.
Does it?
And Queensland, who are so far ahead of the game, possibly because of the Four Ugly Sisters.
Yeah.
Are they stepsisters or sisters?
I think they have to be stepsisters. Bonded by their ugliness.
Each other maroon gets an email, except in Glasby, because no one knew his address.
Didn't have one.
And
not
they say
a hotmail address.
And they're from the four stepsisters, and they say, this is what we require of you.
Yes.
And Maguire had in his package, under no circumstances, forget to sledge for feeder post-match, because that will directly affect what happens in Act 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Dare I suggest, could I throw it to our listeners to SMS what they think that sledge might be? The text number here at Fire Up is 0409 945 945. What would that sledge be? Because we've been coming up with, what would a Queenslander, what could they possibly say to a New South Welshman that would get under our skin? Chris? I would suggest, I think you mentioned tollways.
Yes.
You know, that's driving us bloody spare.
Yeah, Maguire goes, what's the deal with it? We try to get out to the game and it costs us $1,000.
We lost our whole fee. Our 40,000 went out the window just on tollways.
Just in the bus.
Yeah, and you can't get an Uber to the airport.
That's
and Macquarie,
right.
They own the airport. They take all your dough.
And they go, you know, that clown Perrottet's delivered a $4 billion surplus.
A surplus.
And we're still paying tollways.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see that up north of the border, son.
And where's the surplus come from, he said to Fifita.
Yeah.
You know, just from selling off stuff.
Fire sale.
Just fire
poles
sale.
And wires.
State bare poles and wires and buildings.
You're selling your children's future, is what Maguire said.
Yeah.
And he goes, Gladys Berejiklian, that's not a Premier's name. What about Anastasia Palaszczuk?
Exactly.
That's a Premier's name.
And Fifita was fuming at this point. And then all he had to say was light rail. And he went nuts on him, you know, like bloody hell.
Because
the trees were coming down.
Because Fifita's experienced the dislocation that one has trying to get down George Street to Circular Quay. Fifita's trying to get down to Vivid, and he can't get anywhere because of the light rail.
Construction zone, the whole bloody city, you know, things going up left, right, and centre.
No wonder we won't talk about this publicly, because it cuts so deeply. Yeah.
And he didn't even go to Lockout Laws.
Oh, well,
he didn't even go there.
You know why? Because he's got that in his back pocket for next year.
For next game.
For next year.
Yeah, right. Unless the Young Libs have their way.
Well.
Yeah, look out.
What are you talking about there?
Well, the Young Libs want to overturn the Lockout Laws.
Oh, they don't, do they?
But look, that would really ruin it, because then they'd have nothing to say, would they? That was their last, that was the big, that was the ace card, you know. But Fifita was fuming at all that stuff, because he had no comeback. He knew it.
Well, there is no comeback.
There is no comeback.
All those things are true.
He didn't have to say my bed, you know. He didn't have to say, well, what else is there to say? He did say, though, he thought the city was awash in cocaine. Well, you know, and that, we don't know that problem.
I tell you what, though, and that really does rile up the Queenslanders.
It sure does.
Because let's face it, the cocaine is a Sydney-Melbourne thing. Yes. All they've got up in Brisbane, hillbilly heroin.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Absolutely embarrassing today. We were legless. They had a great opportunity to score another 4 or 5 tries on us, and I wish they had to jam it right
up. We can talk about Sticky pretty soon, can't we?
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that. We'd love to talk about Sticky.
Seriously, you know, when I leave this show and I review how the hour has been, and normally terrible, but it's extra terrible if we haven't talked about Ricky Stewart.
Absolutely. It makes me happy.
Yeah. I feel better.
Yeah.
It's like hearing Diana Ross earlier.
Yeah. It's a little bit like if there's somebody worse off than you, you feel better, right? Something like that, right? He's angry, I'm not. That sort of thing.
He's like
comparison.
He's the repository of the schadenfreude of very many people.
He is, absolutely. But there's some good news, though. We'll talk about that pretty soon. Look, can somebody... Joey John's just turned up across the road.
Oh,
is at the Abbott Hotel now. He's just twisting ears over there.
Joey!
Shut up!
We're over at 10 o'clock.
Done, yeah. I did sort of put forward that...
you just run at him. You run at the shoulder. Yeah. It's just simple. The other guys are nervous. I mean, you know, come on. The defenders, why didn't they do it? It's the dumbest half of football.
He's ever witnessed.
And let's face it, Joey's seen some dumb football over the years.
He sure has. Yeah. Yeah, look, what else should that sledge that Josh Maguire pinged on bloody Andrew Fifita, the big, bad, handsome man. What possibly could it be? Someone's come up with daylight saving.
There's votes in daylight saving. It's a plot line in Veep this season.
Yes.
You know, people are very passionate about daylight saving.
Thanks, John from Gaimea Bay, for that one.
Yeah, and basically what Maguire said, what's daylight saving ever done for New South Wales? And Fifita had nothing to say.
Nothing. He was scratching his head. Well, you saw him on his haunches for ages. He couldn't get up. He's still thinking about all of them. Fuming, thinking, fuming, thinking. You know, I'm handsome, you know.
At least he's got 3 weeks to get ready. And, of course, he's excited about the fact that they're going back to the camp just south of the border at Kingscliff.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is Andrew Fifita.
Yeah. And he wasn't actually happy with the accommodation at the Star.
Wasn't he?
No. And I thought I'd be interested in your reaction to this, Stephen.
Yeah.
Because Fifita's quoted in the press today, if I can get this camera to do the right thing.
Yeah.
He goes, it was tough at the Star. Oh. I was on level 16.
He was on level 16.
There was a few of us on level 16.
Yeah.
But we couldn't even get down to level 11.
Wow. Well, who was on level 11?
That is unclear.
Right.
Or more to the point, what was on level 11?
Has Joey ever got to level 11?
I think Joey's lived on level 11 for about 20 years now.
Okay.
He basically left the Knights dressing room and checked in at a level 11 at the Star.
Right.
Level 11's not that easy to say, and he hasn't left.
Is this sort of like the toe cutters or something? Is this some sort of, you know, ancient society, secret society with certain levels? Is there a board that we can go to?
The Stone Cutters? It's Masonic.
Can we go and check this somewhere? Is there a listing?
We could do research. I mean, someone possibly right now is at the Star. I imagine at least 50% of our listeners any time are actually at the Star.
Right.
Streaming the coverage.
But they're all on level 20, aren't they?
Well, right, but he goes on to say it was a bit different in the casino, and I'm assuming that's a bit different to Kingscliff, where they probably just had 3 levels at the resort,
right,
and that's good for Fifita. But I would suggest that the way to get from level 16 to level 11 would be catch the lift.
Oh, I see. That's what you're talking about.
But it's obviously something more complex than that.
Yeah. Is it your pass?
Yeah. So this is people very stupidly pointed out that it'd be dangerous for the players to stay at the Star because of all the temptations.
Yes.
Chinese restaurants, yep. Eclipse packets, dot dot dot. Yeah. Clearly the problem about the Star was it's multi-story and the lift system with the security tags was a little bit too complex.
A bit tricky.
Yeah. Distracting.
Yeah. And you could be lost for days.
Yeah. He does go on to say it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Yeah. Why did he think staying at the Star was going to be bad?
Yeah.
He goes, Loz, and the press goes on to put in parentheses, Coach Laurie Daly, just in case.
Just didn't get it.
Loz gave us time to go home on the Friday to the family to regenerate.
Right.
I mean, that sounds like something Melbourne would do, isn't it? Like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's respect to him. Moving forward, nothing beats being up in Kingscliff away from everyone else.
But hang on, how many levels have they got up in Kingscliff again?
Well, I reckon maximum three.
Yeah, it can't be
because
that high.
That's sort of that Tweed, Mwillimbah area. Yeah. They've got a lot of height restrictions. I've had a proposal to put a
sitting there for
put a tower.
Years now. Yeah, yeah.
Like the Twin Towers. I want to put the Twin Towers
over the back.
I want to recreate. No, probably this. Is that in good
over
taste?
The border? It's fine.
A facsimile of the Twin Towers built at Tweed.
Can you do that?
I don't know. I'd make it the headquarters of the Gold Coast Seagulls because I bring them back.
But yours was looking like Blues Point Tower, wasn't it?
Something like that. No, Sidler-esque. Just a single tower, a monument,
a block,
34 stories. Get the Blues camp
something there. Something Pat could be proud of, right?
Yeah, get them in camp there every year.
Yeah.
But now I'm not going to because clearly it doesn't work for the players.
Height restrictions.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget
yeah.
about the environment.
Is that for their own safety? What's it for?
I don't know.
More questions than answers.
Again, the listeners. I mean, daylight saving, it's part of it, clearly.
Yeah.
But there's more going on here. What's the difference between level 11 and level 16 apart from five levels?
Yeah. Look, Josh McGuire's got possibly got a point there with Fifita and the complaints about New South Wales, you know.
Yeah.
Look, we're overcrowded. Traffic's terrible. People are leaving in droves.
Have you tried to get around this city on a Saturday morning?
You don't.
No.
You don't do it.
You actually don't. You know that
every clown's out getting a cup of coffee.
But well, they're either getting a cup of coffee because their kids are too old, or they're taking their kids to
sport,
right? And the trouble is now the obesity epidemic is associated with the fact that a number of parents are self-selecting, saying, "I can't get the kids to sport because everybody else is taking their kids to sport."
Yeah, yeah.
So guess what, kids? You're not playing anymore.
Simple as that.
You're on the screen. Suddenly you're fat.
Is that what he said? Fifita, New South Wales are fat.
That's right.
Simple as that.
McGuire said, "You're breeding a generation of fat kiddies because they can't get to Saturday sport."
As opposed to Melbourne, of course, which we got brought into, who nobody's fat in Melbourne.
No, not an ounce
not
on
in
them.
Rugby league because they don't breed them there, do they?
It's not a development system. It's
now,
not a nursery.
What sort of machine have they got to pump out these ugly stepsisters, Chris?
Well,
did you hear this story?
I know you're a big fan of Innovation Nation, Stephen, and I know one of the areas that we're surprisingly innovative is in the tooling area.
Tooling.
Yeah, and I'm not sort of doing the HG night flute
thing. Not getting blue here on us.
I'm not getting blue on you.
No, okay.
A tool is a piece of fabricated and designed metal.
Right.
And it'll have a cavity in it. I mean, this does sound a bit
a
like
cavity
that,
in it. Yes, a very large cavity to fit a human being.
And then you inject it with some type of fluid material.
It's not 3D printing.
No. Well, that's the future, mind you.
Oh, okay.
But historically, you inject it with a fluid material like plastic or something.
So who's already onto the 3D printing? Surely Sticky's onto that.
Well,
with
I don't
need help from Buzz. Surely.
I've never really thought of Sticky as a three-dimensional character, to be honest.
No, what I'm saying is he's the game's greatest thinker, or was.
Was.
Wasn't
he? He was, because he didn't get on board. So,
right.
So the move from tooling to 3D printing has not been embraced by most coaches. One coach has picked up on it.
Who?
Craig Bellamy.
Craig Bellamy, of course.
Right.
So what's he doing? He's got a mould, right? And like height, 6'8", weight, 105 to 110.
That's right.
Black hair like Jason and the Argonauts.
Right, types in the words Asafa Solomona.
Run fast, straight.
Nelson Asafa
Solomona. Hold ball, good looking, look like rugby union players. What else?
Yeah, so this is the...
Cleft in chin.
That's right. Yeah. This is, for those in the
soft
know...
Soft skin.
This is called CAD-CAM.
Right.
Computer-aided design.
Yes.
Followed by computer-aided manufacturing.
Right. Okay.
And we've moved from the old school injection and blow molding tooling world to the 3D printing world.
Right.
So you draw up the specs like you said, i.e. you type in the specs of one C. Cronk, and you end up with one Brody Croft.
But C. Cronk is so, 2010, isn't he? You want, we want the future.
Brodie Croft.
Fast. Exactly.
And
what's the name is Brodie anyway?
It's again
in Melbourne.
The, Curtis Stone, Brodie Croft. Brody. These are not real people. They're not just amalgams. People.
Yeah, they just, you know, they go through a book of name, nice names. You know,
it's everything, including the name of the player, is selected by an algorithm.
Yeah. Soon they'll run out and be like, there'll be Jack Reacher. You go, what?
It's a little bit like the FBI playlist. Yeah. Listeners, don't for a minute think that there's any input from the DJs.
No.
There is a computer determining what music you listen to in the same way that computers determine the Melbourne generation, next generation of players.
Particularly when we play Liberace, which we may well do soon.
What I'd love is to do that. And that wouldn't be your choice or my choice.
It's a
computer's choice.
Even if it goes a bit haywire with a coffee spilled in it. Yeah. have they got this Thule machine? Has it ever gone wrong? They've sort of pumped out the wrong thing. And what happens if it does?
Well, they get sent to the West Tigers.
They do too, don't they?
So there's been a few mistakes along the way. Hello, Kyle. Love it.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much, Craig Bellamy, and your tooling machine.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be back in a moment. This is Fire Up.
Feels good. Feels good.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Should be proud he died that way. I heard she threw the letter away.
Are we just giving them fuel here, Chris? Because Billy is a hero to some people, isn't he?
He's almost a hero to me. He's that good.
Oh,
did you know he used to be a jockey?
I'm a little bit worried about you, Chris Scala.
And look, if I do the right thing, and that will... I've got an issue with my phone at the moment, Steve, and it's draining rather quickly. So I was in the city last night after having a beer with Joey Johns at Club 99 York Street. Mm. And I was walking down and I saw the street ad, which was Billy is actually promoting Barbie.
What's Barbie?
It's a doll.
I know that.
Yeah.
But why now?
Well, I mean, Barbie's...
Is there a new range?
Well, they've actually reissued Ken.
Yeah.
He's African-American.
Yes.
And he's got a... he's sort of kind of got sort of a chinos and a nice shirt.
Yes.
And so they're relaunching the Barbie range. And there's a... Well, it's either a picture of Billy with his daughter or a model pretending to be Billy's daughter playing with a Barbie. And that's the metrosexual modern man. It's very much a sort of a rugby union trade to show that they're comfortable with their feminine side.
Yeah.
And I'll try and grab a picture and get it up on the Facebook page if my phone doesn't die.
Right. He's a hero to his daughter too, I imagine.
Well, you heard that's been pointed out by many people that when he was not at Origin 1, he was watching it at home and his son turned to him and goes, Dad, you're shaking. Why are you shaking?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, because I haven't had a drink for 12 hours. But that's a story. That's another story.
That's another story altogether, yeah.
Because let's face it, if you don't get picked by the Marines, you turn to the bottle.
Of course you do, yeah. And let's face it, he had been sitting around for 12 months too as well. Plenty of time to think about.
2 years, to be honest.
2 years, yes, exactly. Look, I tell you what, who has... we've all got friends. Most of us anyway.
You and I.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd count you as a friend. Yeah.
Now, apparently there was a game the other day, and this is something out of the future, I think, you know, when in doubt, you know, a little bit of modification, you know, just to sort of spice things up a little bit. There was a camera angle at the South game, at the home where, well, the place where atmosphere goes to die, unless the State of Origin or the grand final, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Homebush. And the South were playing somebody?
Team from the Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Chargers, Bears.
Riveting stuff, right?
Giants.
Riveting
Seagulls.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And didn't we all know it too? Because nobody was there.
No one was there.
So the cameraman Joe, does a pullover, shoots the crowd. What does he see?
Empty seats.
Did he?
Right. Yeah. So
what did we see?
Right, what we saw was happy South fans enjoying halftime.
Yeah,
right?
Eating meat pies and beers. And
in the bar.
That sort of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And there was something not quite sitting right there.
Yeah, that was footage from previous week's games.
What? They papered it, did they?
So the Fox who sees a vested interest in the game certainly doesn't want to fall into the trap of endlessly broadcasting an empty ANZ stadium. Right. So they sample footage from previous games, put it up during the halftime coverage, which led to a flurry of people tweeting, going, I'm not actually at the game. Yeah. I'm home in front of the heater watching the game.
That was the third test in 1997.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, it's they have to go through the library and they find 1 year where Souths are any good, which is 2014.
The only year.
Yeah. And that's upsetting for people because they see fractured friendships. They see them sitting next to a mate that they've subsequently lost.
Oh, there was a program, wasn't there?
Because, Liz, in order to encourage people to attend the game last Friday, Souths had a bring your mate for free, bring a friend for free.
Right.
No one came. Why?
They got no mates.
Souths have got no mates.
Friendless.
And the few who did, they were friends in 2014, because let's face it, everybody loves a winner. And your friends, you thought your best mate had come on the red and green bandwagon with you, not this
season.
They're gone. You want to come with me to the Titans game? It's for free. Sorry, mate.
Look, not even the charismatic pool of their illustrious owner, Russell Crowe, can pull friends in.
The only thing...
Not Packer. He can't pull friends in.
The things are so bad for South Sydney, only draw card they've got is some good-looking pretty boy who played rugby union for Scots College.
Wow.
Angus Crichton.
That's how...
And he's got a bit of a sense of humour, that guy. I mean, he was after
Angus
a try.
Crichton.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound like a eastern suburbs? Yes. Angus. Gus to his friends. He's got a bit of a sense of humour, that kid. He scored a try and he had his shoe phone Get Smart style at one stage.
Yeah.
Bringing a little bit of humour
John Adams style,
to the palate. Yeah.
Well, okay. Look, I don't see them getting any new friends in the next couple of months, do you?
Souths will be pretty friendless.
What about those Dragons?
I don't think we should talk about the Dragons. You've suffered enough this week, I have.
Yeah.
I don't expect to talk about the Tigers in any real sense.
What's going on with Wayne Bennett?
Blowing a lead like that.
Wayne Bennett doesn't talk. Rarely talks. And when he talks, it's for a reason.
He doesn't talk. He hovers. He's like a vulture.
Yeah. But he doesn't dispense information lightly, does he?
No.
But he came out to bag Jarryd Hayne.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did Jarryd do wrong on Wednesday night?
He said that was the sort of play that a novice, a 19-year-old, would pull. Throwing a wild pass here, not passing to Morris there, blew the game, put it all on Hayne.
There's nothing wrong with being a 19-year-old in rugby league. Cooper Cronk claimed Brody Croft is 19.
Right.
And when he kicked that field goal, he says, I've dreamed about this since I was a kid.
Wow.
Assuming at 19 you no longer are a kid.
No, of course
so not. So calling Hayne 19-year-old is, in some way, it's a compliment.
He can vote. He can go to war.
He can drink with Joey.
He can drink Joey.
Up at the courthouse.
Yeah, still there.
Yeah. But this is Bennett trying to...
He's meddling again.
Well, he's trying to usurp Kevvy Walters.
Yes.
So he's getting into the mind games.
Right.
And let's face it, Kevvy's not good at the mind games. When he tried to go, attack Laurie for complaining about the wrestle and whatever, it just doesn't come from a real place.
No.
When Bennett is twisting and probing and niggling, feels malevolent, it feels evil.
Yeah,
it feels like a Queensland coach.
You can say hubris. Bennett can't.
No.
No. It's not his game, though, is it? It's not his thing.
No.
Now, I tell you what is good news. So, some happy news in rugby league. Sean Kenny-Dowell.
Really?
He was a man cast adrift.
Mercilessly by the Sydney Roosters.
Yes. Yes. Gee, they got a heart, haven't they?
I was saying to Politis last night in the Arthur Beetle Land.
Whilst you're trying to get rid of Joey, right?
I mean, the kid.
Shall we bugger off? I'm talking to the Don.
I'm with Ray Deer, Marina Go, Nick Politis, Joey. Leave this me. Is not your go.
Yeah, please. If you say, move on.
So he just went into the poker room and found some poor soul trying to happily play the pokies.
He was talking to a machine in the end, wasn't he?
I've told you, you just had to run at the shoulder. The defenders either side were nervous. It's the dumbest half of football.
That's your channel. Just run at that.
It's a channel.
Yeah. And the machine just went bing, bing.
And I said, what's the deal with SKD? I mean, the kid played with a broken jaw when he won the premiership for you.
That was all right.
Yeah, and Nick says, if there's one thing the Roosters stand for, we are strongly anti-drugs.
Yes.
And there was a pause, and I said, you are kidding, right?
Everybody around him just broke up into laughter, right?
Yeah. And we all clinked our champagne glasses and continued on.
Yeah.
But SKD's been cast adrift.
Yes. Now, he was, of course, caught seen holding a little baggie, as they say.
Yes, 0.29 grand.
Was it the Bell's Hotel?
No, Ivy.
The Ivy.
Sorry, you're confusing it with Shark's Chair.
The Shark's Boss.
Former Shark's Chair.
Who actually got done in his system. And, Chris Murphy, the great lawyer, said, look, we'll do a hair follicle test. He's clean, everything's good. And they said, right, no charge. Good news.
I think it's, is it charge proven, no conviction recorded?
Yes,
something
good
like
behavior
that.
Bond. You know?
Lawyers,
just
I don't know.
Don't do it again the next year.
It's arcane. I can't follow it.
But a 10A.
Yeah, something like that. Isn't that the film investment scheme?
Yeah, 15B. But, of course, do you think the Roosters have got a heart and they'd say, come on back, we love you now?
Well, I mean, Sean Kennedale turns up and says, look, I'm a clean skin. I was literally clean.
Yep.
And his excuse was some random, probably a Brisbane fan, yeah, has come and say, I'm a big admirer of your work. Please accept this small offering as a token of my esteem.
Yeah. And if it's one, it was only 0.24, like, was it? Yeah.
Trivial amount. It's not trafficable.
Thanks, Queenslander.
Yeah, the first thing you go, can I be done for trafficking? No. Secondly, they do all that sensitivity training in the rugby league, you know, yeah, about yeah, sensitivity, violence, all, the drugs, all that. So one of the key things is promote the brand.
Manners.
So exactly, good manners.
Don't upset the punter.
That's right.
So be nice to them.
If someone says, I'm a fan, I want to express it, what is he going to say? Get away?
Yeah, here's a bottle of fruit.
Is he going to insult the guy when he gives his gift?
A pie? I don't actually eat meat, but sure, I'll take the pie.
Kenny Dow goes, how do I resolve this? Yeah. I accept the gift. Yeah, I'll dispose of it sensibly afterwards.
Yeah. I think he was walking to the bin.
And in the 5 seconds between receipt and his attempt disposal,
finally there was a copper.
New South Wales. And that's another thing.
Not one.
That's another
eight.
Thing. That's another thing. That's a, and a dog.
Yeah, and a dog.
And two rabbits, which is really undercover.
Yeah, because I don't want to be in his house anymore.
People are very complacent in the Ivy nightclub when they see rabbits. They go, well, there's a cute bunny.
Yeah.
Unknowingly, that's actually a drug detection rabbit.
Because they got great noses. You've seen them, haven't you?
Tremendous sniffing ability.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
So that's another thing Maguire had to go for Feeder. He says, we've got sensible policing north of the border, not this sort of draconian crackdown that you've got.
Yes.
And they've swooped on him.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you can go to the Valley any night of the week. You can be holding baggies all night long.
The Normanby Hotel.
No one cares. The Normanby, you can go and take your own drink.
Caxton Street.
Bash one of the, you know, the
Caxton barbers. Street is Gaxton Street, I think.
It's a free-for-all up there, and no one's complaining.
Sensible policing.
Yeah. So this guy was going, listen, mate, I know you can't get away with this sort of stuff anymore, but here, just on us, one Queenslander or New South Welshman, it's a little leaf, a little friendship leaf, right? And he was caught holding it.
Yeah, right. And there is a sort of a nice completion of this, that in the end Sean Kennedale was not convicted of possession because it's always been an issue for him holding on to the ball, as we pointed out.
Ah.
And it makes sense that, in fact, no charge of him actually being possession has been recorded. I think it
of
is
a,
it's a good news story. By the way, the magistrate, Greg Rogan, was my high school football coach.
And you had a word.
I don't want to self-promote.
No.
I know.
No.
I just think there's a kid who's a little bit unlucky, broke his jaw playing for the Roosters, and if there's anything worse than being cast out of the team that you've given loyal service to so many years, is to be cast out of the team to go and play for the Newcastle Knights.
Well, exactly.
That's what the magistrate said.
Yeah.
You know, this kid is suffering
enough. He's suffered enough. He's going to Newcastle.
That's
Nathan
right.
Brown.
It's like...
Come on.
If you remember Logan's Run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You turn 30 and you get sent to and there's, I think, a new movie
this
coming out,
The
Thinning.
Yeah.
The Thinning is actually the Newcastle Knights story.
Thinning.
But all the people have been sent, often rejected by Melbourne, to end out their time at Newcastle in relative obscurity.
I thought it was about Nathan Brown's hair.
That's right.
No.
That's true. Yeah. And then you end up like a cranky old Joey Johns bailing up people,
machines,
talking about the good old days.
The good old days and what he would have done, how we'd have done it right. I'm assuming then that you're behind the Supreme Court manipulations to take those three federal members for the Liberal Party casting aspersions on the ability for the judiciary system to cast judgment.
You're not talking about the doctrine of separation of powers on fire up, are you, Stephen?
Well, you've crossed that line many times.
Yeah, and the only one I know, and that's courtesy of so much exposure from Ryan Asher this year, of course, is Minister Hunt and the other two. Yeah, I'm all over that.
All over that.
Time, unfortunately, is against us.
Make them pay, Chris. Make them pay.
Through the nose.
Which brings us to we're nothing if not good for business. Job opportunities, Chris.
Yeah, I think we should always... I think a job notice board should be a regular concluding feature of the show.
Fire Up wants to let everybody know out there that there's a job going. What's the position, please, at the Canary Banks down Berries?
Chief Executive Officer.
So if you got the job, you could have done the sleep out last night. The other CEOs.
That's right.
You missed that one.
So Raylene, no doubt, did yeoman service last night.
Right.
And she's vacating the position at the end of this particular season.
Right.
So they're looking for candidates.
Right, okay. And have you got a list of qualities that are needed? What would you put in your CV? What are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for tough.
Tough, yes.
Resilient. Which I think is this year's pathway, the most overused word in rugby league.
Yeah.
And family.
It's the family team.
Yeah. You have to have the ability to implant a new strategic plan.
Implant?
Yeah. Not right design.
Not right design or suggest. Actually implant.
Implant it.
In who?
Well, I'm assuming
Each player?
That, you know, what we've seen is Melbourne are ahead of the game. They're 3D printing their way in front.
Yeah.
Canterbury, Des Hasler, 20th century stuff, he's still stuck on electronics.
Yes.
So
still look at chips.
Yeah, so you'll be putting chips into the someone's likes head. Of Kieran Foran and Aaron Woods about the Canterbury
saying,
team.
Run at the bung shoulder. Yeah, run at the bung shoulder.
Here's the strategic plan and run at the bung shoulder.
Can they reprogram those at will?
Well,
like Wi-Fi style?
Well,
that's the question.
Des does have those drones.
He does.
And the players think they're filming... Yeah. What, that's
not real smart.
The drills.
Right?
Yeah. They're actually receiving new instructions.
Ah.
That's right.
That explains why the Morris kids haven't had a good year.
Mm.
You know?
Have we got any candidates for the position so far?
Well, look, hang on. Yeah, someone's just come in. Hopper.
Family,
10 kids.
10 kids.
10 kids. Can't get wrong. Resilient.
Well, you got to say, Hopper is the absolute picture of resilience.
Can he implant?
Well, you know,
hello.
People would say he's implanted the odd finger along the way.
Was he left behind? Some chips, you think? That was the real goal for this exercise, wasn't it?
Mm.
Implant some directions in an opposition players.
That's right, yeah.
Bloody hell. Anybody else might be? What about, I suppose there's any number of CEOs looking for a job at the moment, aren't there? James Comey.
FBI
lost the job.
He could use a gig right now.
Yeah, he's a good talker. Has he got a family?
Don't know that. Yeah. Don't know that.
Are there any Trumps, spare Trumps, lying around that couldn't do the job?
I tell you what, Donnie Jr. or Eric Trump.
Yes.
Running Canterbury Rugby League is the type of future I'd like to be part of.
Would you go back to the future, back to the past? Would you go Stevie Mortimer?
Wouldn't that be a redemption story?
Expunged
from the board, returns as CEO, taking Canterbury back to the Bullfrog Moore, Anderson Mortimer family days.
Yes.
A team that was able to seamlessly move from being the entertainers to the dogs of war.
Yeah, it's just like that.
To play a brand of rugby league that everybody wanted to watch.
Yes.
To 4 years later play a brand of rugby league that no one wanted to watch.
Right, okay. What about Mike Baird? Is he busy?
Well, you know, Mike Baird is in that category. And I always say a lot of sports guys, when they retire, they go, I want to spend more time with my family.
Mm.
Alan Border stood out.
He did.
He said, I'm leaving cricket to spend more time with my family. I've seen Alan Border call games from Sharjah, you know, Hong Kong, you know, Ireland.
Yep.
Mike Baird was the same. I need to spend more time with my family. I think he took a gig with one of the banks within about a month.
Right. Laurie Daly.
Laurie Daly or Kevvy Walters. Both of them are going to be fired, as far as we know, no matter who wins the fairy tale.
Three more weeks. Who's out, by the way? I think Darius Dead-Eyed Boyd has lost his thumb.
Lost his thumb. Wow, that was a horrific injury. I missed that. I heard it was broken. But...
They just ran on and did some on-the-run surgery, just snipped it off.
Cordner's
lost his calf?
Yep.
Yeah. And his tear ducts.
First and shoulder.
He's all cried out. Burst and shoulder. Does that come off too?
There are 10 Origin players not playing this weekend.
Wow.
4 Storms players not playing, which is the big three, Cronk, Smith, Slater.
Oh, this is where the tooling machine comes into
Will
play.
Chambers, right? Yeah. You know why? Because Craig Bellamy says the 4 of them, they're cooked.
If that's not arrogance and hubris of the highest order, I don't know what is.
That's because they're 4 points clear on top of the table.
Jesus Christ.
It's called room to move.
So great for rugby league,
bargaining
isn't it?
Chips.
Really? Well, how exciting is that?
Isn't rugby league wonderful with the Melbourne Storms way on top of the table so they can rest their cooked players? Gosh, I'm enjoying this season.
Oh, yeah. Righto. I tell you one man who's not up for the job at Canterbury Bankstown. Ricky Sticky Stewart.
Is that right?
Yes.
He's not free?
They've done a Sticky and Picky.
Have they really?
They have.
Sticky and Picky.
Sticky and Picky till 2020. And that's not cricket. Canberra have decided that Ricky's their man and they're going to Sticky and Picky till 2020.
Know. A shout out to Dennis Carnahan here, who came up and hugged me at Origin 2, and I had to get security to remove him. But he says this is
and
all...
And meanwhile, you had Joey Johns on the other side, right?
I've got Joey on one side, Dennis on the other. And look, far better for me to suggest anything Dennis to do. He's talking about a 25-year plan, because it is 1994 since they won one. So sticky there to 2020. Can you redo... the Zager and Evans song in the year 2525 to in the year 2020.
2020, yeah.
And I mean, that's a prospect for all Canberra Raiders fans to think about when they wake up tomorrow morning and don't take their kids to sport.
Yes.
We've got another 4 years of sticky to look forward to.
Yeah, because, you know, we're all bored of that great big clapping thing, aren't we?
Oh, it's the Icelandic clap.
So now we want in the year 2020 when Ricky comes good, right?
How old will Ricky be in 2020? Well, he'd be 70, wouldn't he?
Looks like Yoda already, doesn't he? He's as smart as Yoda.
He really does look like Yoda. In fact, Ricky Stewart makes Yoda look good.
He does.
I mean, the man really... That press conference last week, I still haven't got over it.
No. Just keep your cats and kids away.
That's right. And your chairs.
Chris Gale, thank you very much. Another fire up. And 3 more weeks till that. Any games of the weekend of note? Is anybody playing this weekend?
Yeah, we're playing the Titans at Campbelltown tonight. Yeah. That'll be rating its head off.
Yes. St George could be in for a win.
Yeah.
A drought-breaking win against Newcastle. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!